this day, I don't want to just take the moment just to speak to the graduates, but I maybe talk to all of us as family units and as God will certainly talk through us today. Look at somebody and just say, stand up. Stand up. Well, some of you are standing, but look at that. Now look at somebody and say, well, that means you too. Stand up. Look at these stand up individuals. My goodness, I want them on my side. Stand up. It's easy to maybe get to that point where it's easier to sit down than it would be to stand up. But in this generation and the time we're living, we really need to stand up. And come on, somebody, we need to really stand up. One more time, let's lift our hands to heaven and we're going to pray that God will reach down and touch us. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you, oh God, for your word today. I pray that you would challenge us and that you would change us. We thank you for your presence. We feel here. Now, God, go to work. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody clap your hands and shout hallelujah. And you may be seated. But you got to look at somebody else and say, stand up, though. Now, don't get confused. Don't get confused. There is no question that times have changed. I was thinking for a moment about my graduating class and my wonder years of high school. Now, I don't advise what I did. My first 2 years of high school, I thought it was fun to be the class clown. Then I tried to get a little serious, and by then it was not quite too late. And then when I went to college, I did a lot of sleeping, which was not a good thing. But anyways, I didn't grow up with a cell phone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody grow up? Who didn't grow up with a cell phone? Raise your hand. Look at that. Isn't that something? You kids, could you imagine? Paisley's raising her hand over here. My goodness, Dad, why don't you take care of this kid? Gas lingered between the price of 79 cents, and if it was really bad, it hit about $1.09. Yeah, anybody remember that? We drove our cars around just for something to do. I can't imagine driving my truck around just for something to do. What would you like to do today? Well, let's just get in the big old V8, you know, and let's go driving, you know. No. There was no Red Bull that would give you wings. There was not that at all. I mean, if you wanted caffeine, you had to drink a 2-liter of Mountain Dew. And at one time, they even had a wannabe energy drink, and it was called Jolt. Anybody remember Jolt? Yeah. Didn't do anything for you. It tasted more like between RC Cola and Cola from Aldi's or something. And that was just, no cell phones. If you had a pager, you were the bomb diggity. How many of y'all, look at that. Look at these. Now, you had a pager, and everybody knows how those worked, right? And if you seen 911 after that, that meant you had to run around, find a quarter, or if you were, if you could afford it at $10 a minute, you could reach into your car and pull something, a bag out, about the size, maybe of this speaker here, and you could make a phone call from a bagged phone. Anybody have one of those? Look at that. Yeah. Yeah, you guys. Now, you guys were the elites, $10 a minute, and you're like, oh, my Lord. This is, and you tell your kids, this is for emergencies only, right? I mean, there was no fast internet. We've got high-speed internet everywhere, and gaming wasn't really an option. The only games you did was go outside. You're getting on your mom and dad's nerves. It's, I wish you'd get up and go outside. You get whining around, and as I'm going to give you something to cry about. Just get outside. And then, you know, it was come in when the street lights were on. No gaming options, unless it was Mario Brothers, Legends of Zelda, Tetris. Anybody know what I'm talking about? ColecoVision, Atari, John Madden. Yeah, those were the things. Minimum wage. Now, I feel like I was living like a king. Now, you talk to some of the older ones, and $4.15 was like huge money. But that was minimum wage, about $4.15. And I thought I was making bank when I got $4.25 an hour. Anybody have minimum wage less than that? Brother, well, don't overdo it, my goodness. How much? Gas was. It was the same for you, Brother Hart. Oh, my word. We'd all drive, you know, freight liners or something by the own airplanes, for crying out loud. There was no such thing as slim-fitting pants. You guys that know what I'm talking about, you try on slim-fit pants and you're like, this ain't happening. This is illegal. There was no thing called a Zoom call or a Zoom class. The class of 2022, the lost years, Natasha Roy writes, the COVID-19 pandemic heavily disrupted the lives of students across the globe. After nearly 18 months of enduring online learning and separation from peers, there's going to be some issues for the foreseeable future. Dealing with mental health issues and trauma symptoms such as increased anxiety, trouble sleeping, and even substance abuse. That's 2022 graduates. For students who were set to graduate during the pandemic, there's an extra layer of loss. The class of 2020 never got to walk across their graduation stage. The class of 2021 missed out on their senior year. And while the class of 2022 gets both, they are entering their final year of high school or college after completing only one full term of in-person schooling, and that was their freshman year. Think about that now. That's pretty crazy to think about. This year's high school, she writes, seniors were at the tail end of their sophomore years when the United States shut down due to coronavirus. And at that time, she says, they still could look forward to the potential of the classic high school experience, football, games, school clubs, and prom. But as the pandemic worsened, millions of students were stuck learning remotely through the 20 to 21 academic year, end of quote. The years have changed. The methods of negotiating through life is certainly different. You've survived some serious changes both within yourselves, economically, nationally, and even internationally. The world as we know it today is on a collision course with eternity. And here are some of our graduates. Here are our families even gathered here today attempting to meander through the unknown. But the words of Job go like this. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right, and I cannot see him. But he, talking about God, Job said this, whether I'm going this way or that way, I don't know where God is. But he said, he knoweth the way that I take, and he had tried me, and God knows right where you and I are. It doesn't matter what what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. God does know. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. He said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. One translation reads like this. I travel east looking for him. I find no one. Then I go west, but there's not a trace. I go north, but he's hidden his tracks. Then south, but not even a glimpse. But he knows where I'm at, and he knows what I've done. He can cross-examine me all he wants, and I'll pass the test. I've followed him closely, my feet in his footprints. My feet in his footprints. If you match his footprints, folks, you're going to make it. You're going to survive it. And I tell us all today that God takes knowledge of our paths. Even when we don't see it, he's working. He has no rival. He has no equal. God Almighty knows the path that each and every one of us take. He knows where I am, the writer wrote. Can we just take a moment and thank the Lord, clapping hands, raising hands, shouting out some way just to thank him for his faithfulness? Would you just take a moment and thank him for his faithfulness? Would you maybe just stand up and thank him for his faithfulness? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. May be seated. Charles Dickens, in his writing that has been deemed a classic, A Tale of Two Cities, he writes, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom and it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, but it was incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. They state that this novel was written in 1859, set in London and Paris before and during the French Revolution. At one moment, things were good. And at the next moment, things were bad. Things were up and things were down. Great and terrible, terrible and great. This describes our world today to the proverbial T. And yet at the same time, this describes the church of the living God. It describes you and I as well. There's things up and there's things down. It just depends on the lens we want to look through. We are living with hope, yet at the same time, it's in a hopeless world. We are living in a spiritual awakening, and at the same time, we are living in a world that is being rocked to sleep by the enemy of our soul. We are living in a time where God is moving, yet at the same time, it is during this time of great wickedness, worship of self, and things that are running rampant. It is the best of times, and it is the worst of times. And understanding the times in which we live in, and understanding that these truly are the best and worst of times, we've got to know, how are we going to make it? How are you and I going to survive living in this world? How are we going to do that? If Jesus delays his coming, and we know he hasn't come back yet, or we'd all be in bad shape about right now. Or would be very enjoyable. But reading from Daniel, and I won't at all cover the prophetic dreams that he had, but we're going to find some truths as well as similarities between Babylon, our world, and yet see the hand of God helping his people through it. Let's read Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible states, in the year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave the king of Judah into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the just the first few opening verses of Daniel, it gives this historical setting, which includes the first siege as well as the capture of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And according to Daniel, this occurred in the third year of the reign of the king of Judah, or approximately around 605 B.C. Israel had gone into and fell into idolatry, and they had been solemnly warned of God's coming judgment, but they continued steadfast in the way of idolatry. Because of their sin, the people of Israel, who had given themselves over to idolatry, they were carried off into Babylon, the center of idolatry in one of the most wicked cities in the ancient world. And I could probably exhaust the first few verses alone about the captivity of Jerusalem and its falls and dates and such, but we're going to settle in on a few issues, and that is verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. This was the Lord's rebuke against and reproach against the people for denial of following him and his ways and following and just kind of walking away from God. Let me pause here and say this. The reason why our world is in the shape that it's in is because we've ultimately decided to push God aside and walk away. But what we need is a great awakening, a great revival of people that say, come on, God, I'll stand up for you. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Because Paul, the writer of the New Testament, Romans 8, said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's war. It's constantly pushing against. And when we don't have a renewed mind by his Spirit working through us and in us, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our intentions, our actions will always be at war with what God says. We will constantly be warring. I want to do what I want to do, but God's word says, nah, not today. Don't do it your way. I need you to do it my way. And there's a constant struggle, a constant tug of war, because the carnal mind is literally at war against God. And too often we're left attempting to treat symptoms of sin rather than dealing with the problem or the root of the sin. Amen. And here in Daniel, God says, enough's enough. I'll let you go to Babylon and be their slave. So allow me the liberties to liken Babylon as to sin and the world. And when people refuse to wholeheartedly follow after the Lord and his ways, humanity becomes a servant to the world system. It becomes a servant to addictions. It becomes a servant to following after the ways and curses of God. But what do you do when you didn't even cause the mess? Look at somebody said, it's not even my fault. Look at somebody else and say, why me, God? You ever wonder that sometimes? I didn't even cause this. I didn't even do anything about it. I can't do anything about it, but why do I have to live through this? What do you do when things wasn't even your fault? And that's where we find Daniel and his three friends. God permitted a mess in order to get his message across. Daniel and his three friends were simply in Babylon, but not from Babylon. It sounds like us today, doesn't it? We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Oh, we are in it, but not of it. And that's exactly where Daniel was in Scripture. He was in Babylon, but he wasn't of Babylon. See, there's a difference between a boat being in the water and the water being in the boat. Daniel was in Babylon, yet he was from Judah. Hananias, Mishael, and Azariah were in Babylon, yet not of Babylon. They were living right in the middle of Babylon, and yet at the same time, they simply stood for what's right and what's right in God's eyes and even in the midst of what the world said is wrong. Daniel chapter 1, verse 6 says, among these were the children of Judah. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And of the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food. At this very moment, in this juncture of time that Daniel's there, he makes a stand and says, I will put my foot down and I will stand for what God says is right. So verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow himself to not defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. So I want to talk to the graduates and the families that are here, which includes every last one of us. Somebody say amen. I want to tell us how we can survive this messy world, even if these messes that we find ourselves in have nothing to do with you. You're just having to live through it. Here it is. Remember that you are merely passing through and who you are. Remember this, folks. The only way you and I are going to be able to see Jesus is this. Remember who you are, and you do not belong here. You belong to the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I want to belong to the kingdom of heaven. But notice this. The Babylonians had changed the names of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were the names that were tied to Babylonian gods. The Babylonians would attempt to steal their identity, or they wanted them to assimilate into their new identity, their new look, so they would give them a name. They would call them as though they thought you would become. They would make you to become like them through their eating habits, through their dressing habits, thought process. And according to Daniel chapter 1, they wanted the people to learn their language. Scholars state that Shadrach actually means this, the command of Aku, which is a Babylonian moon god. So now Shadrach's being referred to as a servant at the command of a Babylonian moon god. Meshach simply means a servant of a Chaldean god. He would serve for the Chaldeans. And Abednego means this, a servant of Nabu or Nego, another Babylonian god. This is what they were called by the Babylonian chief of the eunuchs. But these guys, hear me today, they knew who they were even though they were identified with something else. Because you know what, Hananiah or Shadrach, as we know him, how many just, you know, it's kind of rough when you start saying these names. Hananiah is Shadrach. Everybody say Hananiah is Shadrach. Do you know what? Shadrach is actually the commander at the servanthood of Aku, a Babylonian moon god. That's what the Babylonians named him. But do you know what his name means in the Hebrew? It means Yahweh is gracious. Don't ever forget that. That's exactly what the world wants you to do, is to melt grace down and make it easy and like it doesn't matter. But I tell us today, if you want to survive this world, it's going to be by the grace of God, the salvation of God. That's the only way. That's the only way. That's the only way. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. So I want you to forget about the grace of our God, the mercy. Now hear me today, grace is not a license to sin. It is not. And I understand that grace has been cheapened a little bit. Not a little bit. How about a whole lot? Yes, it has. It's not a license to sin, but truth be told, grace is not just unmerited or undeserved favor, but it means he reaches down and he extends over us and covers us. I don't know about you, but the only way you and I are going to survive this world is not to forget the grace and the mercy of God. If you want to survive it, if you want to make it, remember who you are. Stand up. See, the world wants you and I just to adapt and adopt their lifestyles. But I tell us today, we cannot give in to a diluted grace. We can't give in to a diluted gospel. It still takes the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It still, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He still said, I am the door. Noah had one door. Moses went through the Red Sea. That's the only way we're going to get to heaven. It's the only way. So we got to stand up and be counted. Then there is Mishael, or his Hebrew name, or his Babylonian name was Meshach, but Mishael means this: who is like Yahweh. The enemy of our soul and even society wants us to forget who our God is. I don't know about you, but I refuse to forget what God Almighty has done for me. I refuse to let somebody tell me what they think I should believe. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. I will not forget the counsel of God. We must stand up for the words of God. And that, so, is exactly what the Babylonians attempt to do. They want to change your identity to get you to assimilate into their culture, assimilate into their way of life, and then they just want to change you little by little by little. Remember who you are, folks. We're in it, but we're not of it. Then there was, his Babylonian name was Abednego. We know it in Scripture as Azariah, which means God has helped, or Yahweh has helped. Not God will help, because we understand he was wounded for our transgressions. Don't ever forget that even in this messed up world and in the current conditions that we live in, God is your helper. God is my helper. He's our helper. You can't do it on your own. We got to stand up to that. Come on, let's just stand to our feet a moment, clap our hands and shout hallelujah. See, Babylon wants us to forget. Okay, you better be seated. I know we got cake waiting on us. What else you got back there? Drinks? Coke, Pepsi? No, you better not. I gotta lose weight. But remember who you are. Look at somebody say now, remember who you are. Our graduates today, I tell you, remember who you are. To the moms and dads and family members and each and every one of us here today, remember who you are. Because yes, this world wants to change your identity. That's what it's really about. This world's so confused, isn't it? I don't get political from the platform. I'm just going to say this is one crazy world. Yes, it is. It is a crazy, crazy world. We don't know what's up or what's down, what side, and we don't know anything. My goodness, you can get a little confused about what bathroom to darken the door at. But remember who you are in Christ Jesus. We've got to. We've got to. According to this plan of the Babylonians, they were after the ones who were they had these things, Daniel 1:3. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them literature and the language of the Chaldeans. See, here's what the Babylonians wanted. Here's what the world wants. They want nobility because of the automatic respect that would immediately be brought to the table. Think about that now. If I had someone of great power or authority who represented power and authority come to this very place, and we all submitted ourselves, that just having their presence here would cause us to respect who they are. Nobility, well-favored, you know that means, that's King James for good-looking. Now look at somebody behind you and say, you look good today. Some of you are having second thoughts because you knew who was sitting beside you. No blemishes, no defects. The ones that had knowledge and wisdom, able to stand and represent without fear, but yet with respect. They wanted somebody that could learn their language, talk like them, act like them, live like them. That's what the Babylonians were seeking out. They wanted the best of the best. Hear me today. Never forget, the enemy is always on the prowl and wants to respect. The enemy, hear me, he wants to rob you and I of our spiritual nobility. For Scripture says it in Peter that you are a royal priesthood. The enemy wants to take you and I out. The only way we're going to make it in this world is to take a stand for the words of God. That's the only way. That's the only way. And yes, in this world, hear me. We need to use our heads. We gotta think. We need to take care of ourselves. Amen. Somebody say amen. You need to take a shower at least every other day. I'd shoot for every day if you. We gotta be able to talk right and proper. But many times what the enemy wants to use for his purpose and for evil, God loves to take that mess and turn it around and use it for good. But in Babylon, don't forget who you are. Graduates, don't forget who you are. Church family, don't forget who you are. And certainly we must not let the enemy pour us into its mold. Notice in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Babylonians' first attempt was to put in them, nourish them, what nourished the Babylonians. Look at that. Daniel 1, 5 says this, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So here's point number two I want to make to us today. That what this world feeds on spiritually ought not to be entering into our minds and hearts, our bodies. Somebody clap your hands and say hallelujah. Is this all right today? Don't let this spiritual Babylon, this world's ideology and ways to get into our hearts and minds. We cannot allow that. We've got to take a stand sometimes. We've got to take a stand. Parents, say amen. Philippians 4 and 8 says this, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and of good report, things that are lovely, whatsoever things are, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things or take inventory. He's telling us, take inventory on what you're allowing to come in. The reason why Daniel was able to survive and live through Babylon and see God's provisions is because he said no to what the world wanted to put inside of him. We've got to say no, I can't do that because of this. I don't want to pollute my body. So don't be a busybody. Don't be a troublemaker. Don't feed on gossip. Don't be a critic. Don't feed on certain programs and websites. Don't feed on the nonsense of this world. Is that all right? Don't feed. It's like if they walked in, the Babylonians, and they walked into Daniel's room and they said to him, listen here, we're going to give you Dish Network with 184 channels. You get the NFL Network. You get and begin to list all kinds of things. Oh, and by the way, let me throw in. I don't even know what else they throw in. I can make it, just say a bunch of initials, and I'll probably make something up, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, that is a TV station. But it's like, oh, and by the way, you don't have dial-up. Anybody remember dial-up? Took forever to send an email. You're sitting there, and you're like, and you're like starting a car or something. And then you see this little dotted line just trying to send and send. And then you wait 10 minutes, and it does it again. But here's the Babylonians. Now they're looking at Daniel and the children, the three Hebrew children. And here they're doing this. We're not going to give you dial-up internet. We want it to be at your fingertips. We want you to have access to everything because we want you to learn what we're teaching. We want you to learn. We want to put in you things and ideas and thoughts and ways. Let us teach you that by giving you what we think you should have. We need to be careful what we allow through our fingertips, what we allow through our eyes, our ears. Come on, somebody. Daniel took a stand and said, not in my house. I won't let that mess in my house. Woo, that's good preaching right there. We got to take a stand and say, not today, devil, not tomorrow, and not next week. I stand for the Lord God Almighty. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. We got to get a little, I've got to, I say we as if I got a mouse in my pocket. I've got to get with the times. I don't know much about phones. I don't know much about social media. But I'm learning of ways, and this is where you probably think I'm going to be mean and a terrible parent, but I'm figuring out ways on how to shut apps down. Woo, that's good preaching right there, ain't it? Oh, my kids didn't know they were their father was Steve Jobs or whatever. More like Jason the Unemployed. But I'm learning because I got to get with the program because if I don't put in my kids the ways of God, the world, Babylon's going to do it. Babylon's going to do it, folks. We got to take a stand. Not in my house. Not in my house. I even got this app. I'm not one of those helicopter parents. My kids know what they got. They know I'm watching them. Yeah, you do know. They'll take you out, boy. I'm not one of those helicopter, you know, where I'm just hovering all around them. But I am protect. I'm not a helicopter. I'm a warship, folks. I'm man, oh man. You mess with my babies, it's on like Donkey Kong. But I'll tell you what I do. I got a little app that I don't even know how you got it, but it's called Life 360. Some of you kids are going to hate this, and I don't care. Mama, you might like it. Papa, andale pues. But listen, you know what it does? It lets me know where my kids are at. It does. Because there's too many freak shows out there wanting to pick them up. That have the wrong intentions. I don't just trust anybody to come around my family. I don't just trust anything to come into my home, because I don't know what you walked in on the outside to get on the inside. Is this okay? We got to take a stand, folks, because if we don't, Babylon's just going to keep pushing it on you, keep feeding it to you. They do. We had a young lady kidnapped not very far from here. It's terrible. But also with Life 360, I know whose house they're at. Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. And you know what I like about that? Is that I can call them at any moment, and if I catch them doing something I don't like, I know where they're at. And I'm coming after them. Come on, somebody. Is this all right? Oh, call me a hovering father. Call me a hella. Whatever you want. I don't care. That's my babies. I'm not going to let Babylon pour in them. Daniel said, don't give me your food. Don't give me your junk. I don't want to get fed with that. See, I didn't have to worry about this stuff when I was a kid. It was if the street light's on, you better get your fanny home. Because I tell you what, my mother swung a mean fly swatter and a chongola and a spoon and whatever else was in her hand at that moment. But you know, I didn't have to worry about some of these things that we got to be concerned about today. My mother, she'd make us mad. We'd say, hey, can we stay at so-and-so's house? Well, I don't know. Who's this so-and-so? Hey, ain't I ever heard of him? Why ain't he ever been at my house? What's his family like? Man, they start asking questions that I'm like, Mom, that's not what we do here. We don't have an interview with who their mom and dad is. I just want to know, can I stay the night? And she says, no, I've never met their mom and dad, and I really don't know that kid, and I don't know what you're going to be watching and doing at night and saying. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? I know. But it's good stuff. We got to be careful. It's not that I don't trust my kids. I don't trust their flesh. Because I was a kid. Yes, you were too. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, we're just cuddling. No, you ain't. You ain't cuddling. You get out of that bed right now. My God. See, I have to take my glasses off. I can't see anybody. Can't see if you're scowling or smiling. My wife can look at my phone at any. She knows where I'm at. I don't even know what I'm doing with the crazy thing. I got that little Apple Watch thing, and I'm driving down the road, and it says, Jason has left the church. And I'm like, well, praise God. Jason has arrived home. Well, where else would I be? And then I get these phone calls like, hey, where are you at right now? And I'm hiding. I'm not. She knows. She says, because I looked at Life 360. I said, why are you doing that? You know I ain't cheating on you. She said, I mean, when you look this good, I mean, come on now. She says, I ain't worried about that. You're at Dairy Queen, aren't you? Uncomfortable? Yeah, it gets uncomfortable. Because then I got to share, or I don't want to share. They order the mini. I said, give me a small. And I'm thinking, Lord, I wish it was big. Forgive me, Jesus. But folks, Daniel made a point to not allow the world's ways, the Babylonian ways to get inside. If you and I want to make it in this world, we're going to have to stand up and say, that's not coming into this place. Not today. Not here. Because I don't want the ideologies of this world system to enter in. Can I protect my kids from everything? No. But if I can put it in their heart to pray when they're in trouble, they're going to know how to get out of trouble. If I put it in their heart to seek God, guess what? They're going to seek God when they don't just need Him at the moment. They're going to seek Him every day. That's my goal. That's all I can do. I realize. realize that physically Daniel had the and the three made a point that they wouldn't eat of the foods of the Babylonians. But we can make that point very applicable to our spiritual lives, that we wouldn't allow corrupt things to disqualify us from being a vessel of honor for God. Watch this. Verse 17 of Luke 1, or excuse me, Daniel 1, or Daniel 15. We'll just start there. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. You mean to tell me that Daniel and the other three looked a whole lot healthier because they were doing it by the way that God commanded it to be done? You and I, myself and I, we would be better off in my home if I would say, nah, I'm not going to let that in. I'm going to be better off if I do what God says for us to do. We all would be in the same boat. Thus, Melsar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Now, that don't sound real good. But as for these four children, God gave them knowledge. This is what God gave these four youngins. He gave them knowledge and skill and in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Why? Because he was careful on who he stood for and where he stood. And at the end of the days, the king had said he should bring them in, and the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Here's point number three. I got to go quick. Understand that when you are serving God, he will always give you favor. He will always give you favor. And let's face it, sometimes favor ain't fair. Number four, notice that all four were blessed and favored by God but had different giftings. That's what I find amazing about the body of Christ. Even the enemy would like to do nothing more than cause you and I to fall into a trap of jealousy and bitterness and get mad because someone else is being used and you're not. But hear me today. Every last one of us has a purpose by God Almighty. We just got to step up and start working at it. So they had favor. And then jumping into chapter 3 quickly. You know the story. Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image that was 9 feet wide and 90 feet tall. And commanded the people to bow down and worship it. Sounds like today, society demands us to worship man-made things. Yes, they'll provide the music and the opportunity. We just have to bow down to it. Subject ourselves to its ways and their wants. So here's number 5. Don't bow to the pressure when you should be standing for the one. Daniel 3:8 says, wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whose falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, and they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image in which you have set up. And it made the king mad. Who you and I were. The world, listen, folks. The world does not want us serving the Lord. And so they're going to attempt to manipulate systems to get us away from bowing our knees or standing for the one. We got to make a decision that instead of bowing to this world system, we're going to stand for the one. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up. course, Nebuchadnezzar, he gets all fired up. Yes, we'll upset society at times when we refuse to cave into the demand, saying, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that. The Word of God says this, and this is what I got to go with. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not going to go and beat people up. I pray that we don't. Maybe you thought it in your mind, but do inventory on that today, maybe. Here's what we're up against. It's a spiritual issue. It really is. It's against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness on high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14 says this, stand therefore. That word stand doesn't just mean to merely remain calm, but it literally means to almost push back. That my standing is me pushing back. And yes, we are. And graduates, yes, the world is going to try to push you into a corner stating that Christians shouldn't speak up against sin. I say stand up. We can't sugarcoat. I can be sweet and sassy at the same time. But folks, sin is sin. And we got to stand for what the Bible says. We got to stand on what the Word of God says. Yes, this world is going to try and get us to bow to their ideologies. I say, stand up. The three didn't do it. And here's what I find amazing about Scripture is that they did not do it disrespectfully. And that's what I love too. You don't have to act like a pig saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Forgive me, old McDonald. Folks, we don't have to act the fool. We don't have to go into the school and slam our fist down and say, no, my kid's not going to do that, or they're not going to partake of that, and yell around, shake our fist in their face, and take a swing at them. No, they just, no, I'm not going to do this. Not today, not tomorrow, and not next week. Well, Brother Hyman, when he needed to get his van, his children back and forth, when a certain group of people try to say, you can't do that, he said, no, this is where I stand with the Word of God, and this is where I'm going to go with it. You don't need much more than that. You don't need any more than that. You got God on your side, folks, and you're willing to stand. You're going to make it. And the three, they didn't do it disrespectfully. They just simply and calmly said, while you bow, I'll calmly stand. You'll know I'm here. You'll hear my voice, but I won't stand. And the last point, and I know everybody say amen to that. Whew, that was a little powerful. My God, it hurt my feelings. That is this. We have to have a made-up mind. We do. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And here's what gets me, three little words, but if not. Oh, well. But if not. Be it known unto you that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image which you set up. We need to have a made up mind, folks, that no matter what, we're going to serve the Lord. If not, whatever. Whatever. Is that the best you got? Okay, whatever. But if not. Look at somebody and say, but if not. We've got to have that mentality. If not, okay. Is that the best you got? If not. Yes, this world's crazy. And yes, we are racing a rapture. And yes, confusion is all around us. But I tell us today, stand stand. You got to. You're going to have to. Because mom and dad ain't going to be able to make all those decisions for you. Church family, I tell us today, stand up. Mom and dad, stand up. Romans 8:38, Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for his kingdom. I tell us today, get persuaded and stand up. Let's all stand. Three had a made-up mind in that fiery furnace that the threat alone would not tempt them into giving in. The three had a made-up mind that no matter what the pressure was, they would not bow. And we know the story. The scriptures state that even the strong ones who cast them into the fire, that they even died. And notice the key words that are easily overlooked in Daniel 3:23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the fire. And at times, we're not going to get it right. We're going to fall down, aren't we? Going to make mistakes. We're not always going to say the right things. We're going to fall down, but we don't find them like that, because at some point in that scripture reading, we find them walking in the fire. But even if you fall, we got to get back up. No, we're not going to get it right every time. Aren't you thankful that we have a merciful God? It's okay. Make the stand and say, you know what, I want to try it again. There's no perfect parent out there. And guess what, kids, can't do that anymore. There's no perfect parent out there, but you youngins aren't perfect either. Mom and dad say amen. But we got to make the stand. Today, I'm telling us that we've got to get a made-up mind that no matter what, I will stand for Jesus and let this world pass me by. I won't allow things to come into my mind, into my heart, just like Daniel said. I can't do that because I've got to do what God says. It's uncomfortable, yes. But we've got to make the stand. Would you grab the hand of the person next to you if it's appropriate? And maybe would you step out from where you are if you feel comfortable in doing so, and maybe make a few steps forward, stating with through a declaration of saying, you know what? Or by an uplifted hand, would you make a declaration that as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord?